Attention, all singles. I have a question for you. Do you want to be married? Do you want the dream of a happy home and a loving spouse? Hey, is that even possible in today's world? Yes, it is. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord thy God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 18, 22, that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I have in the studio with me today my wife, Debbie, and we want to talk about the dating game. We want to talk to singles about how to, God's way, if it's his will and it's the desire of your heart, God's way to find that person that is compatible for you, that is somebody you can build a life with and have a wonderful marriage with. So Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. And I think, too, this is more than just for singles, because I think for us, it's like, okay, well, we're out of that category, obviously, but we encounter single people all the time that need godly counsel and need godly advice. And so if you're listening and you're out of that singles game, but you have grandchildren, you have kids yourself that are not married, this is for you.
That's for sure. And as far as the title, The Dating Game, goes, you never stop dating even after you get married. Good marriages continue to date and continue to court and continue the romance.
Amen. That's right.
So, Debbie, you remember the program, The Dating Game. It was very popular
Yes.
in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And if you remember, it was pretty much always a bachelorette that had three suitors, potential suitors, behind a curtain or a wall. She couldn't see them, and she was asking them questions. And at the end of the program, she would choose, you know, is it bachelor number one, bachelor number two, or bachelor number three? And sometimes it was funny when she would meet these guys, and it's like, oh, great, I should have chose bachelor number two, because right. The guy I chose is a loser.
I always was amazed at some of just the goofy questions that they would ask to help make their determination on who they were going to choose. They weren't, in my opinion, really wise questions, no. But I think, you know, they were for ratings. Yeah, so that was the reason they asked them, because those are not the questions normally that you would want to ask a potential suitor to see if they were eligible or not.
And there's I did look this up today. There's one story, who knows if it's legend or truth, but that one couple did get married from the dating game.
Only one.
Yeah, out of all
those. Isn't that interesting?
Years, it was just, you know, that's really not the way to go about it.
Right.
But now we have today, we have people that date through dating services, online matchmaking services, and those can be very successful. We've heard good stories about people mm-hmm. that have found, you know, their true love through Match.com or one of those services. You and I didn't have that luxury when we were...
That didn't even exist.
Didn't exist.
Back in the day.
Back in 1985. We met at church.
Right.
I still remember my friend Brant Moffitt, who I worked with at Nalco Chemical Company. That was one of his first questions he used to like to ask married guys. Where did you meet your wife? And it was always wonderful to say, I met my wife at church. Because a lot of guys would say, well, I met my wife at the nightclub. I met my wife at the bar. We met at church. That's a great place to meet your spouse, at church. And Debbie, you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about for years, when it comes to dating and marriage, to find the right person, because everybody listening that's single and wants to be married, you don't want to find the wrong person. You want to find the right person. How do I find Mr. Right? How do I find Miss Right? To find the right person, be the right person. You attract to yourself what you are. And godliness attracts godliness, and ungodliness attracts ungodliness. And it is so foolish to think, well, I can live an ungodly life and get a godly spouse from an ungodly life. It doesn't happen that way, does it?
No, it absolutely does not. And we see that play out so often. And I think one of the reasons that we see that, especially even within the church, is because a lot of people's motives for being in a Sunday school, in a singles department, in a church, are not necessarily pure motives, right?
Right.
I mean, they're not necessarily because they're desiring to seek after the Lord and they're desiring to grow in their relationship with the Lord. They're there to meet somebody. And that's a great side benefit of being involved in church, most assuredly. But that is not the reason that you're there. And or it should not be the reason that you're there. It should be because you desire to grow in your relationship with the Lord, to deepen that knowledge of Him and your trust and your faith in Him. And I think so often, I know like in our relationship, it was built on a solid foundation because we were both involved in church and we were both in church for the right reasons. We weren't there just to meet somebody else. That was a great bonus, but that wasn't why we were there. And the desire of our heart was to be fully surrendered to the Lord and to get to know Him more and to fall in love with Him more deeply. And as a result of us both having that same goal, when God put us together, that continued to deepen and continued to grow. And so it just provided such a stable foundation for our marriage and for our relationship.
Yeah, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, when we talk about before you say I do, and if you're in that the single category that you want to be married, so we want to just share some wisdom from God's Word. What do you have to do before you find that person, before you meet that person, before you say, I do? I have written a few things down. Number one is it starts with you and Jesus.
Right.
You have to determine for yourself that I'm going to be a person that is passionately seeking the Lord. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, Jesus said, will be added to you. So, Debbie, you have in your own personal testimony a story of I wasn't seeking the Lord, then I was, and then God blessed me.
Right. I had for so long rebelled or been resentful of the idea that I needed to have such a small box of people that were eligible for me to date. Because I had heard all my life growing up, you know, you don't want to date anyone who's not a Christian. Well, I just thought, why is that? I mean, why can I not just date whoever I want to date or whomever I want to date? Why do I have to have such a strict small box of a boundary for that? And so I went rebelliously into dating, and I did it my own way, and I made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And by God's grace, I did not have permanent lasting consequences from those mistakes that I made. But I came to realize, as I really truly surrendered my heart to the Lord, that those boundaries that God puts in place are for my safety, they're for my protection, and they're for my good, and that I could trust Him with that. That even if I looked in this small box and I saw no one on the horizon, I could trust Him to bring someone on the horizon if that was what His best for me was. Mm-hmm. Goes back to that verse that you just quoted earlier, that no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so I changed the focus of my life to not be seeking after another individual, but to be seeking after the Lord and to be surrendered to Him and to trust Him with my future. And then I narrowed down that playing field drastically, and I made a really thick boundary and a small box for those people that I would be willing to date.
And then what happened?
And then, boom, boom, here comes Mr. Shreve.
That was in about 6 months of you really making that switch in your mind and in your heart. And then we met.
Well, had I not have made that switch, number one, I would have never been interested in you. Number two, you would have never been interested in me. So it would have never taken place had I not have done that.
Yeah. Well, I would have initially been interested in you because I was just overwhelmed by how beautiful you were.
But that wouldn't have lasted.
No, if you hadn't been seeking the Lord, I would have been like, this girl's not for me.
Right.
So, you know, that's what you know, we tell our girls and we tell anybody that we counsel, you need to find somebody that's passionately pursuing Jesus. Not somebody, and this happens so often, where a girl will meet a guy and she finds him attractive and, hey, we have a lot in common, this and that. But if he's not passionately pursuing the Lord, if he's just, okay, I'll go to church with you. I don't normally go to church, but I'll go with you. And he starts doing those things. He'll do anything if he thinks, hey, this is a catch, and whatever I need to do, if I need to go shopping, if I need to go to church, if I need to go to the opera, I'll do that. But once you get married, he's not going to do that anymore because he was never doing it for the right reason.
Well, I think, and I've heard this said many times, but it's so true. You want to marry an individual who loves God more than they love you.
Right.
Because it's loving God and seeking after Him and being surrendered to Him. That's what enables you to love.
Right.
If you don't have that relationship, can you love someone? Sure you can, but it's very limited. It's very conditional.
Well, and it's very selfish.
Yes, it's very selfishly motivated.
You know, unless we're seeking the Lord with all our hearts, unless we're putting Him first, then you have self sitting on the throne, and self wants what it wants when it wants it.
Well, and I think under those parameters, when you have fallen in love with someone who does not love the Lord more, they can love you until a test comes along the way, until a hardship comes, until a tragedy comes. And then because that love doesn't come as an overflow of God's love, and because that love is more selfish, it can evaporate mm-hmm. and it can go away. And the tragedy in that is we have seen, as we have counseled people, that happens a lot.
Right.
That happens a lot. And so without the love of Christ in your heart, ruling and reigning in your heart, your ability to love another individual is drastically limited.
It definitely is. And so you got to get things right. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of everything. It's when you recognize God is God and you're not God, and your job is to serve God and love God and find your satisfaction in the Lord. Well, secondly, we're talking about the dating game. So first of all, I have to get my heart right with God, and I need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Secondly, it starts with getting emotionally healthy. Mm-hmm. And so all of us have baggage, hurts from the past, and things that have happened. And I know many listeners, no doubt, there are some that had a bad marriage and now they're divorced and they would like to be remarried. But there are lots of wounds from the past. And the big question is, not do you have baggage, but have you recognized your baggage? Have you gone through your baggage? Or are you owning your baggage and dealing with your baggage?
Right. You have always teased, and it's just true, that when it came to our marriage, you had a little bitty, like, overnight bag, and I had just bags and bags of stuff, which is not an exaggeration. That was a very true statement. But like you said, we do all have that, and we have different wounds that have happened to us in relationships that have shaped the way we see things, have shaped the way we deal with things, that we think about things. And so it is so important to work through those things. And it's not that we're going to ever be completely baggage free. We will eventually, in our glorified bodies, we will be baggage free. But as we walk this earth, that's just not what's going to happen.
Right.
And so it's not having any baggage. It's what am I doing with the baggage that I have? Am I acknowledging it? Am I working through it?
Right.
Am I cognizant of it?
Yeah, because if you sweep it under the rug, or you lock it in a closet,
or make excuses for it,
yeah, it doesn't go away. I think people are masters of throwing sheets over problems and say, oh, since I can't see this, this doesn't exist. It does exist. Throwing a sheet over a baby elephant is not going to make it go away. And the elephant in the living room needs to be dealt with. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm here with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the dating game. Hey, 31% of America is single, and no doubt a lot of those people want to be married. So how can you make a good decision in marriage so you can have a marriage that lasts for a lifetime? That's what we're talking about. Don't go away.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The Centers for Disease Control said deaths from drug overdoses increased 15% last year. Some were accidental, but many overdoses were the result of loneliness and hopelessness. Their world was shaken, and they felt they had nowhere to turn. The Bible says our God wants to be an ever-present help in trouble, no matter what we face. When life seems overwhelming, reach out to God and don't listen to the devil's lies. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Do you feel like you're in control of your finances, or is it more like the other way around? Sometimes all it takes is a little help and encouragement, and we've got just the thing. It's MoneyWise with Rob West. Every weekday morning from 9 to 10 Central, Rob and his money-savvy friends and colleagues help you stay in control of your finances. And it's not from the world's perspective, but from God's. Don't miss MoneyWise with Rob West every weekday morning from 9 to 10 Central, right here on AFR.
The Ministry of Preborn is the ultimate life support, helping moms in crisis choose life.
I definitely would have gone down the wrong road and probably would not have given my son life if they had not been there to support me. From giving me the ultrasound to throwing a baby shower, and they went out and they got churches to cover my bills. They helped me through so much. It was just incredible.
Preborn centers are the ultimate life support for moms in crisis across America, providing hope, love, and free ultrasounds.
He's 10 and he's my little angel.
Preborn clinics are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the United States. Would you join with Preborn in rescuing babies? One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm here with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the dating game. 31% of Americans are single. And a good number of that 31% would like to be married. Now, that's 31% of adults in America. So you have some younger people that many of them say, for sure I want to be married, never been married before. And you have those who have been married before, once, twice, three times perhaps, but they still would like to be married. I'm thinking about a dear lady in our church who was married for a long time. Her husband died, and she said, I would love to be married again, and she's now in her 60s, and so that's a concern for lots of people because they have a desire in their heart to be married. I think about one lady that's very well-known, track and field star. She is, I think she's 40 years old. She longs to be married, and she makes no bones about the fact that she's a 40-year-old virgin. And she is trusting God and waiting on God to bring her the right person. And that can be a hard thing for women, can it, Debbie?
Well, just in general, waiting is hard, mm-hmm. right? Because it just requires patience. It requires faith in the Lord that he's going to come through, that you don't have to lean on your own understanding. You don't have to take things into your own hands and manipulate and do all these other things.
Right.
And you don't have to compromise. That's a huge one. I think we see that so often that as people continue to wait in this dating game, they have a real tendency to start to compromise their convictions, right, and to compromise the boundary lines and different things. And it's just never a good idea to do, to take the short look like that.
No, and you never want to settle in something like marriage. And you never just want to say, well, okay, I guess, you know, this is the last ship out of the harbor. Even though I see a lot of issues here, I guess we can make it work. Don't ever want to go into marriage like that. And as Debbie said, you don't want to compromise your convictions. So where lots of couples get in trouble in dating and marriage is they get the cart before the horse. They start sleeping together before they get married, thinking, well, it's, you know, you believe the devil's lie. Hey, it's wrong unless you love each other. If you love each other, it's okay.
And we're getting married anyway.
Yeah, we're going to get married, and so it doesn't matter. What we used to tell people when we did Family Life Marriage Conferences is, listen, if you are having sex with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your fiancé, you are telling them, tacitly telling them, I am willing to have sex with someone who is not my spouse. It's a terrible message that you send that causes the relationship to immediately be built on sand, because there's not that solid rock of truth and righteousness that you're building on. But so many couples do that. Hebrews 13, verse 4, let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. That should bring terror to everyone's heart that is blowing that off, because God is serious about be chaste in dating, so that when you stand at the altar, you can have a great heart that says, we did this God's way.
Well, and even aside from having a commitment to do it God's way, which is of paramount importance, another reason that it's such a bad idea is that it completely clouds your vision, because everything becomes all about the physical, the excitement of the physical. And so all the other issues take such a back seat. And the physical, although God desires that within marriage to be off the chart wonderful, that changes and evolves over time. And that initial impact of the excitement and all of that, that does fade. It's replaced by other things, right, when you're doing it God's way within a marriage. And it gets deeper, and it gets more intimate, and it gets a lot better. But if you go down that road, it clouds your judgment so drastically, because it overshadows your rational thought in all these other different areas that you really need to discuss and to make sure that you're in sync with. And so it's just a real bad path to go down.
Well, people will say, I love her so much, I want to express that. It's like, if you really love her, you'll want to protect her purity. Mm-hmm. Love wants to give, lust wants to get. And guys, you know, typically it's not the girl that's pressuring the guy in the dating to sleep together. It's the guy pressuring the girl. And that might not be 100% across the board, but it's mostly true in the vast, vast majority of relationships.
Well, and in our culture today, so many young people have no concept that that is wrong.
Yeah.
That's not what God desires for them, that's not God's best for them. And it's not just that they know it and they're doing it anyway. So many of them don't know.
Right. Well, the Bible clearly tells us as believers in Jesus that we're not to be doing that. All things are lawful for me. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians 6. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says, the two will become one flesh. You don't want to go down that path. And I know, and Debbie, you and I both know, that that is a real issue in dating, because when you do find somebody that you find extremely attractive and exciting and you want to be with them all the time and you fall in love with that person, that the physical is there. And if the physical is not there, there's probably something that's an issue that you need to be aware of. But you have to say no. And what did you tell the girls all the time? The way to purity, three words.
Three words?
Location, location, location.
Okay, right,
location.
Geography.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really can be that simple. If you're not in a geographical position to do that, you're pretty safe.
Yeah, so if you go parking, if you're going to be by yourself a lot in a dark bedroom or something like that, I mean, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
And so you don't want to do that.
Well, I think, too, it's important to know that if we have people that are listening, that this is pricking your spirit. Like, you're like, oh, you know, I am engaged in that behavior right now, and I do know that God doesn't want me to do that. But what do I do now? I mean, here I am. You know, mm-hmm. We've already crossed that bridge, so
right.
to speak. And I would say that God is the God of second and third and fourth chances.
Right.
And so, Jeff, why don't you address that? What would you say to folks like that?
Well, I had a couple, this was years ago, when I was at Champion Forest on staff there at Champion Forest Baptist Church, a couple came in and they said, we want to get married. And they had been living together for 6 years or something like that. And I was like, okay, that's good. And I said, you know, you need to make this right before the Lord. And so when do you want to get married? And they said, 3 months from now. And I said, 3 months from now, we need to do this like today if you want to make this right before the Lord. And they said, well, no, we can't. We have family coming in and 3 months from now. And I said, okay, well, here's the condition that I need. You need to agree to if I'm going to do your wedding ceremony is there's no sex until you get married. You're going to, from this day forward, you're going to do it right. And I said, it would be best for you. They were living together. I said, it would be best for you if you separated until you got married. And they said, well, we can't do that. We can't afford that. And I said, well, does your house have more than one bedroom? Yes. And I said, well, then at least do that. Live in a different bedroom. And then we can do this if you'll commit. No sex until you get married. Well, I didn't talk to them for a couple of months, came to the house to do the wedding, and he pulled me over to the side, the guy did, and he said, hey, he said, I have kept my commitment. I haven't touched her in 3 months, and so we're ready for you to do this wedding.
Yeah, make it quick.
Yeah. So it was one of the sweetest weddings because they made the decision, we're going to honor God in this. And even in couples, Debbie, that aren't Christians, I've talked to before about this and say, I won't do your wedding if you're sleeping together. And so they've made the decision, okay, we recognize that's wrong. We're not going to do that until we get married. And God blesses that, because you're honoring him and you're doing what he says.
Well, I think too, if you have fallen in that area, the enemy loves to come in and just shame you and make you feel that you're just trashed and damaged goods and to really keep you off course. And I just know that because God is the God of second chances, you may not physically be able to be completely pure again in terms of like you're not going to be a virgin again ever, right? But God can give you a second purity. He can give you a second
right.
virginity. He can give you a fresh start if you make that commitment to him and if you honor him and if you choose to do things his way. He honors that and he blesses that and he uses that actually to bring healing and to bring restoration into your heart and into your life.
Right. Yeah, you're not damaged goods. I always think about the prostitute in Luke 7 who wept at Jesus' feet and the things that he said to her because she was truly repentant. And I mean, you think about it, she was just covered in the slimy fingerprints of sin. She just had images in her mind that would just haunt her for what she did and what she had become. She weeps at Jesus' feet. She confesses her sin. Obviously, those were the tears of repentance. And the Lord says to her, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Don't go in guilt. Don't go in shame. Don't go in condemnation. Go in peace. And if the Lord says to you, you're forgiven, and your faith has saved you, you're forgiven, you're saved, go in peace, we would be so foolish to say, no, I can't be forgiven. No, I can't forgive myself. You just accept his forgiveness and say, well, this is what he said to me, so I'm going to go in peace and I'm going to receive that word. I have been forgiven and I am a brand new person in Jesus. And as I told the ladies yesterday at the Women's Center, you know, one of the greatest verses in the Bible is Job 3:1. Then the word of the Lord came to Job the second time. God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and 500th chances. And so you never cross the line where God says, that's it, I'm done with you, I'm not going to forgive you anymore, you can't come to me anymore. We can constantly come back to God and be forgiven and be restored in our relationship and in our fellowship with him. But you know, one other thing, Debbie, that I think is really, really key in this thing, the dating game, is be realistic and have your eyes wide open in dating and really evaluate, is there good compatibility here? Is this relationship just built on looks? Is it just built on the outward? Is it built on money? You know, women can be very attracted to a guy that has money and is successful. But is this something that we connect on a deep level? We both have the same love for Jesus. We want to grow in the Lord together. Because if you don't have that, when the storms of life come, as Jesus said, if you're building your marriage on the sand, the storms will blow it down. You have to build on the rock. And that's where other people can help you. Your mom, your dad, a trusted friend, somebody who really loves you can see the relationship in a more objective way. And, you know, when you're in love, you don't see things very clearly. And other people can say, hey, this is a red flag. That's a red flag. You're not seeing this. And so that's really, really important.
And there's so many resources out there to help you in that. And two of the best books that I have ever come across in terms of helping people kind of sift through differences in their relationship and differences in their personalities and to really kind of help solidify their compatibility are both books written by Norman Wright. And one of them is 101 Questions to Ask Before You Get Engaged. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great book because it covers just a gamut of different topics that you can talk through. And it's less intimidating because you're not bringing that subject up yourself.
Right.
You're reading this book together and you're going through these questions together. Then he has also written one, 101 Questions to Ask Before You Get Remarried. So if you're if you've been divorced or whatever and you're in a remarriage situation, it's a great reference and a great book to go through to help you uncover some things maybe you wouldn't have even thought to have asked about or to talk about prior to making a commitment to each other.
Well, when we used to talk to the pre-marrieds at Family Life, we'd say, listen, you need to go into marriage knowing divorce is not an option and adultery is not an option and abuse is not an option. You know, those things can kill a marriage. If there's adultery, if there's abuse, it almost always leads to divorce. And so I don't go into marriage thinking, hey, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to bail out. And I also don't go into marriage thinking, well, I can have some other people on the side. You can't do that. You are dead to all the others. It's just I only have eyes for you. And that's the kind of marriage that God can bless. Well, we are getting ready to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to take your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about this thing called the dating game and maybe some things that that you did that were very, very helpful in having a good marriage. We know that marriage is not easy. Marriage is a struggle, and there are ups and downs in marriage. Every couple has ups and downs, but marriage is so worth it. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I can give a testimony that says, when I found Debbie and we got married March 15th, 1986, I found a good thing.
Maybe a great thing.
A great thing,
there
I'm
you
sorry.
Go.
A great thing. And God has blessed us. And have we been perfect at it? No. But we have enjoyed the journey, and God has been faithful to us. So give us a call, 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about the dating game.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Hi, I'm John Sorensen, president of Evangelism Explosion, and this is Share Life Today on American Family Radio. This week, we're learning an easy-to-remember gospel presentation, and we're using the five fingers of our hands as a learning aid. Today, we'll focus on word three, God, and picture the middle finger, the longest, greatest finger, representing the greatest being in all the universe, which we know to be God. Of the many aspects of God's character, we'll emphasize two. First, God is merciful. He doesn't want to punish us. The Bible tells us that God is love, but the same Bible that teaches us that He is love also teaches us that He is just, and He cannot tolerate our sin. In Exodus 34:7, God says, "By no means will I clear the guilty." Well, this presents a problem. Notice that I didn't say that God has a problem. The problem is ours. For God's solution to our problem, we'll turn our attention tomorrow to word four, Christ. Visit sharelife.today to see this hand gospel presentation video. That's sharelife.today.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm with my wife, Debbie, and we are talking about the dating game. And what is God's way to have a great marriage and family, and the dating process. How can you do that in a way that honors the Lord and ensures, as best you can, that you make a wise choice in marriage?
Also, and just that you're compatible. I was just thinking through during the break, like what are some areas of compatibility that are important in a marriage? And I think a lot of it is just what your future plans are. Kids, no kids, stay at home when you have kids, not stay at home when you have kids, that how you spend money. That's a huge compatibility issue in terms of how you spend money, who's going to make the decisions on how you spend the money, how is that going to happen, how do you resolve conflict when conflict arises. And I think that can be a big red flag too. If you have never seen your potential person in a crisis type situation where they're angry or frustrated or whatever, and you don't know how they handle and process through that, that's something that you need to make sure has transpired prior to making a decision to get married. And just if you have some common interest, there so often I see this that people, they, and I think that's where the sex can cloud things. It's like, I just see so many couples that just don't have any just common interests together, things that they like to do together. Right. And that's very important over the long haul.
Well, it really is. We have a couple that we know that got married. They had very little in common. He was a coach, and she couldn't give a rip about sports, and so she wasn't interested in really anything in his work life or in his passion, you know. Mm-hmm. He was passionate about sports, and he wasn't interested in what she was interested in, and they kind of lived separate lives until they couldn't do it anymore, and they divorced. Right. And so, yeah, you don't want to do that. It's very important to make a wise decision. I remember Damon Shook, our pastor at Champion Forest Baptist Church, he said, the number one problem in marriage is people make a bad choice. And so make a good choice. Choose your love and love your choice. And make a good choice, a prayerful choice, a choice that it has been bathed in prayer and is, you have a green light from the Lord that this is His plan for you. Now, nobody has it to where, you know, God's, you're not hearing a voice, marry this person, you know.
Right.
So it, all of it is a step of faith. But when you and I got married, we were nervous about it, but it was not the nervousness of I'm getting ready to make the biggest mistake of my life. It was the nervousness about, okay, this is for life. This is a big decision because divorce is not an option. Well, we'd love to take your calls, 888-589-8840, and talk about this thing called the dating game. And we have Joe on the line from Louisiana. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how are you, man?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Hey, I just been listening to you, and anyhow, I'm on my fifth wife, okay?
Okay.
I didn't do it God's way the first time I got married. Married my childhood sweetheart. Ended up running around with another woman and divorced her. My third wife, she said on our third date, I don't do this, 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 and this. Do you still want to go out with me? I didn't touch her till the night I married her. And the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced. And I tell my grandson that do not dishonor your girlfriend. You wait till you get married and God will honor that. However, that marriage didn't work because she wouldn't leave her mama, and her mama was our problem in our marriage. But big question, I'm married to my fifth wife. She is a wonderful Christian woman. I just finished going through some medical issues, and my wife was there for me every step of the way, and I thank God for her every day. But Jesus told the woman at the well, you've been married five times, and the man you with now ain't your husband. Am I living in adultery because I divorced my first wife to marry another woman?
Well, great question, Joe. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening, and appreciate your honesty. Here's how I view that. So the Lord hates divorce. Malachi, I hate divorce. Because the Lord doesn't hate the divorced, but he hates divorce because divorce rips people apart. The two become one flesh, and when you divorce, you tear that apart. And so because God loves people, he hates divorce, what it does to the couple, what it does to the family. I look at it this way. So would God want you to divorce your wife now and somehow try and reconcile with your first wife? I don't think that is a realistic way to view things. I think the Lord says, hey, the marriage you're in now, you can't unscramble eggs. What has happened has happened. But make this marriage your last marriage. So make it work with this spouse, and just know that divorce is not an option. I think you need to make things right with your former wives and just own your part of the issue that caused the divorce and apologize where you need to apologize. And that doesn't mean you're going to reconcile with them in terms of a marriage relationship, but it just means you're not going to leave a trail of hurt feelings and things unsaid. And so, you know, that might be done in a letter that your current wife knows what you're saying, but just to make things right. The Bible says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Romans 12:18. And so we need to make sure our side of the street in the broken relationship is clean, and that we have repented and we have sought forgiveness for the things that we have done wrong. And then we need to move on with the Lord, because God is the God who forgives, who cleanses, who restores. And Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Don't keep doing that. And so, Joe, for you, it would be, Joe, don't keep divorcing and remarrying. Make this marriage your last marriage. Is that helpful for you? All right. I think we might have lost Joe. But God bless you, my brother, and thank you for calling in. And I hope that was an encouragement and a help to your heart. We have Nick from Texas on the line. Nick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Shreve. How are you this morning?
Good. How's it going?
Going great. Hey, listen, I enjoy your show. I just want to tell your audience, boy, if they're listening to you, they're listening to one of the best today. I'm not saying that to butter you up, but you are. I think you always say you learn from Adrian Rogers and Charles Stanley and all those greats. You're following right in their footsteps, so you're doing a great job.
You're very kind. Thank you.
I am an attorney, so I've got to warn you that anything you say will be used against you.
Yes.
And that includes Debbie. But anyway, that's my little joke. I'm going to try to make this quick as I can. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. I'm not telling you this to brag. I kind of won the lottery on looks in life from the time I was 19 to the about. Yeah, I know. I even looked up Debbie to see how hot she was. And, you know, you got it going on. You got it going on up there in Texarkana. From the time I was about 19 to we're about 50, Tom Selleck and I pretty much looked just alike. People would tell me that all the time. I even had people who didn't believe I was. They thought I was Tom Selleck. So that's just a bit of a background, because my question relates to the issue of looks and selecting a mate as a Christian. And there's a specific comment a lady made to me the other day, and I just want to get you to comment on it. I went to Whole Foods Market, and the vitamin manager there walks up, pretty good looking gal, probably would have thought she's about 42 years old, and just to be complimentary, as I try to be with people, I say, oh, I see the management here has reserved their vitamin position for the best looking employee. So anyway, we talk, I'm getting some stuff for my cat, he was sick, and eventually, I'm trying to make it short as I can so you can get to other people. Eventually, I said to her, I've got an ad on a dating site kind of just for fun, because I really kind of doubt I'm going to meet my wife as a Christian on a dating site, but I'd like to make some friends. I mean, I'm an attorney, so I'm always using new client. Plus, I wouldn't mind having somebody just go out to dinner with. Well, long story short, again, I said, by the way, my age on the dating site is not my real age because, and I forgot to tell you this a minute ago, I'll be 70 in a month, but I look like I'm about 55. When I tell people how old I am, their mouths drop open. So my ex-wife looked just like Natalie Wood, the movie star. My ex-fiance looked almost just like Jane Seymour. So I'm used to dating really good looking girls. So I say to this girl at some point in time, and, oh, she said, why are you worried about that? I said, I don't want a bunch of, I hate to sound like a jerk here, but a bunch of old, you know, whatever women calling me, because I'm not going to be interested in them. So she says to me, eventually, she says, let me tell you this first. I said, to me, there are about 10 or 12 things, if I sat down and listed them, I don't know, maybe 10, 12, 15, that I've got to have in a wife. I mean, first, they got to be born again. Second, they've got to be seriously, seriously committed, which I have been for years and years as a Christian, and I pretty much know why God put me here. But they've got to be accountable. They've got to be responsible. They've got to have a good sense of humor, a good communicator. You know the laundry list. But I said, there's no way I'm going to marry somebody I'm not attracted to. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And she's going to have to be pretty seriously good looking. So she says, and this is the question for you and Debbie, she says, well, to me, that's kind of a sign of spiritual immaturity. In other words, suggesting that, I mean, the way she delivered it, almost that you shouldn't really look at looks at all. And I said to her, well, I think it's just the opposite, because I don't know if you remember this, Pastor Shreve, back I think in the early 90s, there was a song that said something like, you know, you can be so heavenly that you're not any earthly good. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're trying to be a super spirit, it may sound great to say, oh, yeah, I don't care what my future mate looks like. If they're godly, if they're all these other great things, I'll just, you know, whatever looks are irrelevant. So I think I know why she's saying that, but I want to see what you guys say, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Nick. Well, looks are obviously part of it, and if you're not attracted to somebody physically, and men are very visual, that's going to be a problem. People can fool you, though, because as you get to know somebody, somebody that's beautiful on the inside, you might not be attracted to them at the first, but as you get to know them, they can become extremely beautiful because you see the hidden person of the heart, as the scripture says. And so when I first met Debbie, that was what, just took my breath away. I said, man, she is gorgeous. I want to get to know her. And the more I got to know her, the more I loved the inside, and the outside just got more and more beautiful. So I think that is, I think that for sure is a big piece of the pie.
Well, and for me, it was a little bit of the opposite of that, because I was always attracted to tall, dark-headed, olive-toned skinned people, and you were the exact opposite of that. So it wasn't that I found Jeff unattractive, because that wasn't true at all, but I would have not picked him out necessarily in a crowd just for his looks. But then when we went out, even on that first date, I was blown away. And so then he just got more and more and more and more attractive to me as we dated as well.
Right.
So I don't think you're going to ever want to spend time with someone that you just sound horrible, but are just like repulsed by physically. I mean, that's not going to happen. But I do think God can open your eyes and change your eyes and change how you see people.
Right.
As you come to know the inside of their heart.
Right. Very good. So thank you for Nick for that call. We have one more call that we can go to, and that's Jake in Arkansas. Jake, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'll go ahead and tell you quick. When I was coming up, I didn't have a girlfriend until I got in the 12th grade. And the old guys, you sit in front of a store called Chinaman Store, all old men. They said, Jake, you ever had a girlfriend? I said, no. They said, well, whenever you get one, you...
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Jake? We must have lost Jake. I'm sorry. That was going to be a good story, I think. I think he's going to tell us about finding the girl of his dreams. But anyway, well, today we've been talking about the dating game, because there are lots and lots and lots of people in cities all across America. 31% of American adults are single, and many of those want to be married. Hey, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, Psalm 84, verse 11. And he who finds a wife finds a good thing. God created marriage. And listen, if that is the desire of your heart, to be married, don't give up on that. I don't care how old you are. It is better to die in faith than to live in doubt. Just ask the Lord and bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to trust you. I know that no good thing do you withhold from those who walk uprightly. So if it's a good thing for me, you're going to bring it to pass. And God loves that. When we trust his word, when we cling to his word, and when we bring his word before him in prayer. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Debbie, thanks for being with me today as we talked about this important subject. Remember the two words, shine and share. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.